The following programming is sponsored by Michael Sloan. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war, and poverty. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. But just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the
good morning, Philadelphia.
Yes, good morning, Makara. Good morning, Philadelphia. We have an interesting show today. We have a number of people that are going to be calling in. We have Miss Melody Bazemore. She's going to be calling in, talking about credit, as we normally do. We have Miss Melanie calling in from the Senior Ambassadors. And we have the State Rep, Stephen Kinsey, who's going to be calling in. Talking about what he's doing in his district and what he stands for, what he's always been doing. So we have an interesting board of people that's going to be calling in. And, you know, when you listen to our intro of our theme music, Wake Up, you know, it's time to make a change. You know, we could stand around and hope for change. You know, one of the things that I see, we do have a lot of hatred that's plaguing our community. We have a lot of senseless killing. We have a lot of carjackings, and you know, we have a lot that's going on that, you know, I believe we didn't have all of this. I mean, some of the things we had, it just wasn't reported as much. But the carjackings is to me, it's just crazy that so many. And you would think, you know, people, what's going on with people? People are beginning to defend themselves a little more, and you would think it would thwart some of this. You know, it's turning into the Wild Wild West. And I don't even think the Wild Wild West was this wild. This is worse than a Wild Wild West. You really have to be on guard when you're outside and you know, you have your car running, and you know, you really have to be careful. And these young men out here who are just, you know, preying on people, I mean, you have to think, what is going through their mind that you're willing to take a life and willing to put yourself for the rest of your life in a cage? And I harken back to, you know, you have a group of people who have no hope, no inspiration. Why? Why is that? I want to talk about a little bit about the dynamic of family. Of religion, how, you know, a race, how some races, they're not plagued by this, and yet you have the African American races, you know, they have a long history. But one of the things that I see in the African American race, we have a history of self-inflicted wounds. But why? And you know, I began to speak to some other cultures and so forth, and looking at I had a round table with Christians, Muslims and people of the Jewish faith, and we began to talk. And, you know, some people began to talk about, you know, what they went through or their culture went through through the years. And the one thing that stood out was that, you know, African Americans, how their family was basically taken away, whereas though you're with the injustices of the judicial system, once you have people's rights taken away, some of the most I guess simple things in life, the pursuit of happiness taken away, I guess I also want to get into Martin Luther King, what he stood for and what he's done. And yet we still have some of these things because, again, you have the family structure that really has been wiped out when it comes to the African-American family. And that's a recipe for disaster for generations to come when that happens. And that's with any culture. It's just not just one. But if you have the father and even the mother supplanted for whatever reason, and we know the reasons what happened to the culture itself, but whenever you have that instability, it affects that culture for generations to come. When you remove one parent or even both parents, and then you have kids raising kids. So, you know, you have these standards that are being taken out of the family structure. And it wreaks havoc in the community because you just don't have that father and mother virtues instilled in you. So I definitely want, and it really affects us across the board economically, right? Socially, mm-hmm. and just overall progression. And then you just begin to look at it and you just wonder why do you keep doing this? What is the purpose? What is the reason? You know, you're setting yourself back, and again, it's self-inflicted wounds, but really when you really think about it, is it really self-inflicted? Because again, this is going to go on for a while until we as a people, and I think we as a people, not just black people, I'm talking about everyone join in, because this has been perpetrated on the African community for generations, taking away their, you know, structure. Because if you look at some of the other African-Americans, well, not African-Americans, just black people in general that come from other countries, you really don't have this type of thing going on. Now, it's not the same. It's a little different. And you'll notice that with a lot of other blacks coming into the country from other countries, they have a tendency to be more successful. They stay out of trouble. They seize the opportunity. And you notice it's just a difference. Mikhail, I don't know if you wanted to say anything, because I'm doing all the talking.
Yeah. I think that it's a very it's a long conversation that I can't just
Yeah. And by the way, Mikara's a little under the weather, so I'm going to have to carry the show a little more than, or talk more than I usually would speak, because she's feeling, she's a trooper today. But Mikara, we do have Miss Bazemore, Melody Bazemore on the line, and we have Miss Melanie on the line. So if, it doesn't matter, we can all join in the conversation. Miss Melanie, is from the Federation, the Senior Ambassadors. Miss Melanie, how are you? Good morning.
Well, good morning, Michael, Reverend Sloan. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. And I, you know, you guys are awesome. And when I say awesome, when I say you guys, I mean the Senior Ambassadors of the Federation. You know, I was at a function yesterday talking to a group of seniors at the York House, and the state rep, Kinsey, showed up, and it was funny because we were talking. I said, I had a function that I had to attend. He said, what function is that? He said, oh, really? So he says, by the way, I got something to do as well. And as I was speaking to the group of seniors, guess who pops up? Stephen Kinsey. And I said, oh, you didn't even tell me you was coming here to speak at the same event. It was, you know, kind of funny to me. But nonetheless, I spoke at your building yesterday. We spoke of the senior ambassadors and, you know, how you guys are troopers, how that one fateful day last year right there at Broad and Chew, there was a shootout and 15 people got shot. One person was killed. And that was the day the seniors, it was the very first event that the seniors attended. And right then and there, if, you know, for those who have the faint of heart, you guys said, you know what, when is the next event? Because if not you, then who is going to make that change in our community? And we do realize it has to be us. Young African-American men have to see that, you know, Black people can work together and we can work for a common goal for them. We have to show them that we love them. Mm-hmm. And that really shouldn't just come from Black people. It should come from everyone because that's this true. Affects everyone. But Miss Melanie, yeah. Can you tell us a little more about yourself and what you're doing, which, you know, the senior ambassadors are doing to affect change in our community?
Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. Well, my purpose actually joining the Federation was because I wanted to see the change in the neighborhoods and a change in how we as Black people lived our lives. Most importantly, how young people, and what affected me so much was the fact that young people were just lost. They didn't feel anyone loved them. And becoming a senior ambassador enabled me to go out into the neighborhood as well as talk to those business people who live in those impoverished neighborhoods to put back, because the Black people spend so much money in those businesses, and businesses do not give back to those neighborhoods and causing them to have poverty. They're not employed. They stand on corners, young people, with nowhere to go, thinking no one cares. So this is one of the reasons why I joined the Federation, and Michael talked to me and showed me the geographics of the differences in lifestyles, how certain people live from city to city and from one section to the other. And I've always loved young people and people in general. So this brought me to this point where not only that, I'm kind of like advocate, I'm, you know, the underdog, and I'm under the tutelage of Henry Nicholas, who, you know, we marched all over the city for injustice and things like that. So here I am. I'm back now with Reverend Sloan doing the injustice for the impoverished communities, you know, that we need to lift each other up. And we as older people, as senior ambassadors, need to let young people know that we love them. And there is a place in this world for them. It's not about killing each other and dying. And this is my function. And we go out in neighborhoods, and we've been out West Philly, and we give out gifts. And people like are surprised that we're giving out the things that we give out, and they're not cheap. And we're giving them out free, and we're asking the seniors who can give up their time, who's interested in bringing their communities back into focus, come and join the senior ambassadors.
Awesome. You said a mouthful. you are an agent of change, and I thank you.
You're
welcome.
I applaud
you.
To hear your voice.
Thank you.
And again, Ms. Melanie, you guys are going to be doing COVID testing at your location. And that is, can you give me the address?
It's 1320.
West Somerville, I believe.
Yes. Uh-huh. We'll be doing the
now, but there's two buildings. So you have Yono, York House.
Okay, that
North, and then you have the York House.
Yes, but we'll be doing it the Somerville site.
Yes. That should start next week. Seniors are going to be out there testing for COVID. We do have another location at Siles Clinic, so if anybody would love to get tested, they can come to 4104 North 5th Street, and that's right across the street from Cousins. And we're doing both tests, the PCR and the rapid test, and they are absolutely free. Mm-hmm. Again, if you would like to have a test, you right now, today, if you would want to come to the Siles Clinic, you can get tested absolutely free, and you can have both test done at the same time, and it will be absolutely free. And the address
it's absolutely free. The only thing that you need to bring is proof of identification, so an ID or a driver's license and or an insurance card.
Say that one more time, Makara.
The tests are completely free. The only thing you need to bring is a form of identification, such as your state ID or your driver's license, and your insurance card if you have it. If you don't have insurance, your ID card will do just fine.
All right. And again, that address is 4104 North 5th Street, right across the street from Cousins. You're listening now to WWDB, the Power of Hour, or the Hour of Power, sponsored by the Federation of Black and Minority Businesses. We also, I don't want to leave out Ms. Bazemore, because again, you know, you talk about a community that is affected in so many ways with poverty, disenfranchisement, a judicial system that has always been against them, and from a fiscal perspective, or even credit perspective, predatory lending, and it's for a number of reasons. But I definitely want to bring Ms. Bazemore into this, and I definitely want her to be a part of everything that we're doing. You know, it's about time we all wake up and remember there's strength in numbers, folks.
Yeah.
And when I say strength of numbers, that's all religions, all colors working together. A lot of times when you think about racism, it is really based on greed, separating people for a common good so that someone else can profit off of it. So, you know, we need to reverse that, come together for a good. And yes, there's when people get together, there's strength, and there's monies that could be made for everyone because there's strength in numbers. Ms. Bazemore, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm just listening and taking in all of this knowledge because you guys are absolutely right. We have to come together as people. You know, when I jumped on, the first thing I heard were you saying how the difference in African Americans compared to our other brothers and sisters of color, you know, because when they come from foreign countries, they see the difference in the poverty versus the poverty that we think we're living in. And we've gotten so customized to social programs that's keeping us stagnated because we're not living the life of our dreams. We're not opening up our mindsets. And this is what's causing the violence. And then on top of violence, we have a pandemic that has us scared because no one wants to be sick. So with all of that coming together, this is where it calls a support team. And that's what you're providing for all of us to come together through the Federation to support our communities where needed. Because if we give them education on financial stability, then they can stop thinking about how to do something for money that's illegal. And that's something that all people come across. Nobody's, you know, excluded, because we got to face the facts where they lie. If you're suffering financially, you're thinking of any way to make ends meet. So this is why we have to have solutions, you know, having the testing places for our seniors, because seniors who can leave us legacy knowledge, because that's where we're lacking. We have to pass the torch through our education. So I'm just happy to be here. Good morning, everyone, and let's talk.
Amen. Let's talk. It's time for us to make a change. It's time for us to wake up and fight a fight that is worthy of fighting, and that is for young people. And we talk about fighting for African Americans, but really, it's really to fight injustices, period, all across. But we know that it's been focused and really concentrated, these injustices in the African-American community, and we see how it spills out into all the communities, how it affects all of us, you know, and we just need to really come together and to understand how it was done, but more importantly, how do we overcome this? And, you know, as I began to look at my devotions and understand and getting to understand myself, before I can really try to understand other people, I really need to understand me. And one of the things that stood out to me was virtue, godliness, temperance, patience. And, you know, when you look at these attributes that as individuals, that, you know, patience is very important. Knowledge and knowledge is very important. Showing, you know, being kind to one another. And that's across the board. That's across the board that we should be. Now, sometimes, you know, it's very difficult to do when somebody's slapping you in the face. And then, you know, you turn the other cheek and then they slap you on the other cheek. You know, you say you only have two cheeks. No, you got two more. That's on your lower anatomy. Then you get those two cheeks slapped. Yeah, now what are you supposed to do? You know, and it's hard. But when you think about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., I'm reminded that he used this nonviolent strategy of protesting the injustices for the disenfranchised. He followed another highly successful person, Gandhi, how he actually did a very similar protest through nonviolence to get the British out of India. And he followed I forget the gentleman's name. He wrote a book about it, and he lived in the Soviet Union. But just organizing people, putting numbers together, because, again, there's strength in numbers. But, again, looking at Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., he was willing to die, to lay down his life for a worthy, get what I'm saying, a worthy cause. Not everybody is willing to lay down their life. But here's the funny thing. We're all at risk of losing our life. no day is guaranteed. But because of this chaotic situation that we live in, depending upon what neighborhood you're that much more at risk. But because of gentrification, everybody's at risk right now because of the injustices, the atrocities that have been committed against people at risk through these generations. It's putting us all at risk. So it's a worthy cause for everyone to join in to help out. It's not going to be easy. This is not going to be a walk filled with roses. But at the same time, it's a walk worthy of walking. The reward is great. When someone says to me all the time, or Reverend Sloan, you gave me a reason to live because of what I do, I mean, that's worth more than any money that anyone can offer me, really. You know, every time I'm feeling sorry for myself, I'm feeling down, and I really want to give up, God will send someone to say, you know what, Reverend Sloan, I appreciate you. Don't you give up because you've helped a person like me, and I know you helped. And it just reminds me, you know, to push on and not to get caught up into my own feelings about what I don't have, what I should have, and all this other stuff. But, you know, the fact that you can change a person's life, and sometimes you think things aren't moving the way you want them to move, and they're not moving fast enough. But if you can reach just one person, it's a fight worthy of fighting. So, Miss Bazemore. So,
yes.
you have something interesting that can help. Thank you. You have something interesting that can help people right away. I know in certain communities and predatory lending and how we purchase things, like even something as simple as a car. You know, if your credit's not right, I mean, you're really going to pay for it when you're attempting to get a car. Even a house, car, because your credit, if it's not where it needs to be, the interest that you're going to pay over the life of the loan is astronomical. You're making someone a lot of money. And you have people out here who can't afford to get a car, so they're killing other people to take their car.
Absolutely.
Why is that? Why is that? And you know, these young people are able to work, can work physically, but can they really work mentally? Because they're damaged. Because they're willing to take someone else's life and throw away their life at the same time for a vehicle.
Absolutely. And the sad part is it does start with mindset. And that's why what you just said with Martin Luther King, having that dream and having that purpose, is to absolutely change the mindset. And unfortunately, with our rap music, you have young artists, even some older artists, because some of the artists is in their 50s now, and they're still talking about a life that was a past life. And the sad thing about all of this is that if they keep listening, then they're following the trend. They're actually believing that they're invincible, and now it's taken away from the structure. First of all, just in our public school education, we're not teaching financial literacy. They have taken away all the trades. So if someone is not just book smart with math and English, where is their hope? Because when I came through the school system, you still had home economics where people could become a chef. You know, people have passions in other industries, but we have to now give them that pathway. And this is why I say community is so important, because we have to go out. Yesterday I had the ability to work with the NOMO Foundation and teach those young adults financial literacy and give them hope, because without hope, that's why they're out there doing what they're doing. They're stealing cars because they see the fast life on TV. All you see is BMWs, Mercedes. These are not realistic cars for any young person to think that they should acquire in a short period of time. We have to teach them how to save, how to budget, really see what their net worth is. Stop worrying about Beyonce and Jay-Z, how much they worth, because they took time, they prepared themselves, they got the education, they took the extra courses, they listened to financial advisors, and that's why their income is higher than the average. But the average person is not being taught this, not in their homes, because it's so much poverty with the mindset of being able to survive off of this broken system of welfare. We have to be real, because I'm going to be honest, being a single mother of four, I wish I qualified at times for the Section 8 program, but I'm so happy I never got called, because it may have made me complacent. When we get content and we got a little bit of central air and cable, is that life? No, it's not. We have to think bigger and think outside the box and help our sisters and brothers out. If I'm doing well, I believe in let's teach one, each one teach one. And just like the Bible says, treat people how you want to be treated. It's just part of the Ten Commandments. We can keep it simple, but it starts at home. We're allowing our youth to be raised by the streets. And as a middle-aged adult, and watching my personal generation, yes, we went through trials and tribulations. The government, in my opinion, always have something out there. It's up to us to have the mindset of what do we want. And that's why we offer financial literacy. We give you a protection plan that actually can protect you. It's a financial advisor right on your phone. We have an easy online app. Because you need to know what your credit score is. Do you know you can't buy a car, or you can buy a car in the 500s or in the 400s, but now you're paying 20, 29% interest rate on a vehicle that's losing any type of value every day you drive it. This is a
depreciating asset.
Asset. Here we go. Yes. And that's what people are not being taught. What is an asset and what is a liability? Having clothes is a liability when you're spending more than you're making for a personal item that once you wear it, you lost all value. We have to educate our children on what's more important. You must get them in the mindset of purchasing a home and not being a renter. Why are we keep making other people wealthy? Then we're having the mindset, oh, they got it, so I'm going to take it. See, this is where that mentality comes in, because now they see someone doing well and then they don't have tools. And that's what we have to provide, the tools. You know, it's easy to go out and give somebody a vaccination or a COVID test, but why aren't we going out and giving them the tools to financial literacy so they can have an opportunity to do something for themselves and not have to take from others? And that's where we lack at. And most other nationalities coming from poverty, they share information. And that's why we see them pass us Americans who's been brainwashed off of this socialism life of just dependent on government to take care of us. We have to break the mindset.
Yes, we do. You're listening to WWDB, the Federation's Power Hour. You're listening to Makara and myself, Michael Sloan. We have Ms. Bazemore and we have Ms. Melanie from the Senior Ambassadors. You know, I look at the past, and it was very, I wouldn't say it was very easy, but you could pull yourself up by your bootstraps if you just work hard. And, you know, you just kept your head out. You could sort of make it. Now today, I think it's a little different. I think it's a little more different. You can have as many degrees as you want and still find it very difficult to get a job. And in certain cultures, and I spoke of my mother. My mother grew up, it was a mixed family. But my mama was looked upon as being white, and her twin, which was her brother, both was looked at as being white. They were afforded things that their other siblings were not. My uncle had a third grade education. My mother never graduated high school, but yet they were given a lot more opportunities than their other brothers and sisters because they were viewed as being white. My uncle in the 70s, early 70s, third grade education, made $50,000 every year washing cars. Washing cars. That would be the equivalent of making around $150,000. Third grade education. I work with someone now who is a different persuasion. Sixth grade education. Six-figure income. Because it is afforded. Life is not fair, folks. It is not. And Miss Melanie, you know,
yes.
you've earned your way, correct?
Yes.
You worked hard to get, you know, that was a different era, correct?
Yes, it was.
What is your insight to all of this? I mean, you see, there was definitely injustice back then,
okay,
would you not say?
Yes, it was. When I first started working in, I'm a retired nurse, LPN, and when I first went to the hospital that I retired from, Medical College of Pennsylvania, it was then called Women's Medical when I first went there in 1967. And when I first started, I started as a nursing assistant. And what we did is that they didn't allow you to sit down at the desk. You could not sit down. I'll just show you how much time has changed. It's changed somewhat, but because we, as young people, decide we saw that injustice and we wasn't having it. The children born in the 40s, 47, 48, we wasn't having this nonsense for so long. We could not sit down at the desk with the nurses, like the registered nurses. We had to walk the halls until the lights came on to answer, you know, they answer the bells for the patients if the patient needed something. But long story short, as time changed and we saw that, look, like, you know, we sat together, we sat separate in the cafeteria when we went to eat, you know, all the young folks sat together, all the blacks sat together, the whites sat together, that kind of stuff. But as time went on, and then the union came in, and went, did you want a union? And we're tired of this, you know. They also paid the white male more than they paid the female. Let's say I'm a nursing assistant and you had an orderly, but if he was white, he made more money than, let's say, I would as a nursing assistant. You follow me?
Yes.
And so if it was a guy being a transporter, he made less than that white male because they felt that that white male needed more money to take care of their family than the black male. So time went on and we decided, like, this is not going to happen. We need some kind of reputation. We feel like the salaries should be the same. Be injustice for the salaries and stuff. And so we did form that. And we did get that recognition of being human beings. And so going forward, we begin to make difference. We could sit down with the white folks and they sort of like decided, you know, we're going to try and tolerate you. They don't like you. They tolerate you. We're going to tolerate you because
because I think your line, I'm not sure, but it's coming in and out. From what I'm hearing you saying is that you guys basically unionized, so the strength in numbers basically to combat the injustices.
Yes, how can we make a difference in how we're treated and how I think I'm just as good as that my white counterpart. I want to make the same monies. And so this is what we fought for. So long story short, yes, your strength in numbers, being united gives you whatever you want. And I always tell people, you know, you work for an employer. How do you think you can make your employer give you a raise? They hold the money, but if you unite, you can get anything you want, because I'm a witness of that. So if you don't want to do better, but you have us pulling away from each other. Oh, I'm not doing this because I'm comfortable where I am, and I got this, and hey, I got a mortgage to pay, and you go in and do. And this is why, because they kept us so divided in what they give you. I'm going to give you a little more so you won't do this against your employer, that kind of thing. And so this is why we can't get anywhere. You know what I'm saying?
I hear a phone in the background. I don't know whose phone that is.
And that's mine.
Okay. So
anyway, long story short, I'm going to say this and I'm going to get off. I was downtown some years ago, and I'm by buying shoes. You're talking about, you know, the credit cards and things like that, and you know, the interest rate is so high. But I'm down there anyway in Macy's getting a pair of shoes, you know, comfortable for my feet. And the kids come through there. They go to school down there, and I don't know what school they go to, but they go to school, and they were walking through. And there was a boy and a girl. They were walking. They said, "Ooh, I like those shoes," she said. "Let me go look at them." She looked at them, and they're walking. She said, "Oh, no, you know, you have to be rich to shop in here." And I'm thinking, what kind of mindset does these young people have that they can't do this? You know, and thinking about poverty, you know, poverty and young people living in, they feel they can't have it unless they're rich. You know what I'm saying? And going about what we are saying, if we don't empower them to understand about money, they don't know. They think they have to sell drugs that have that, you know, and that's my point, and that's my last statement.
Well, I thank you for sharing. I look forward to having you back. And again, you are one of the directors of the senior ambassadors for the Federation of Black and Minority Businesses. You're
Ms. Newton
is also a co-director. I need to have her on possibly even next week, because she's a wealth of information. And again, folks, we're talking about the disenfranchised, you know, people who have been used and abused through generations, and how do we overcome this? How do we get past that? And, you know, we look at how other religions, other cultures have pulled themselves up, and you say, well, why can't African Americans do it? And sometimes you say, why do we do this to one another? Again, once you get to understand what has happened to the Black family, African American family, once you try to understand, you know, because it's very easy to pass judgment. You know, they just keep killing themselves. But this was planned. This was a planned attack, and it worked very well to destroy the African American family, and, you know, have it work against them, and how a lot of cultures, the judicial system, all benefit from this planned attack generations, even centuries ago, how it will continually, or the possibility of continuing, unless we as a people come together and provide support. And as a people, you know, begin to recognize we have to work together. There's the strength in numbers, just like a union, how it comes together to equalize the forces that are against them to overcome the situations that's perpetrated against them. So, Miss Melody.
Yes.
Melody, I'm sorry, Miss Melody. You know.
Yes.
How can people reach you to get more information and trying to strengthen themselves up? Because we're talking really about how we come together, but sometimes you have to help yourself before you can help somebody else.
Yes, you do.
They can
reach me. I have a home cell number at 267-632. 9254. Call me
so,
anytime.
Okay. That's great. Now, Ms. Bazemore, because I have Melody and Melanie. Ms. Bazemore, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
So same question for you.
Awesome. At 267-908-3382. That's Melody Bazemore. I'm a financial advisor, credit coach, and you can also contact the Federation, and we can get you all the information and put you on the right track to some financial literacy, because this is a wealth of information, and we just want to empower our community so we can stop some of this violence. And I appreciate you for having me on.
I appreciate you for being on, because knowledge is power. We're still hoping that the state rep, Stephen Kinsey, will call in. I know that he was in a meeting. He said he was going to try to make it. He's going to be in Washington next Wednesday. So we still have 15 minutes, and he said it would be close. It would be close if he could get on. But
okay.
Yeah, we're...
Could I have that phone number? Excuse me, Reverend Sloan. Could I have that phone number again for Melody Bazemore?
Yes, it's 267-908-3382. And I would love to connect with 82, yes, because we also do wills and living trusts, especially for our seniors, and that can save some inheritance taxes and making sure that your loved ones do get your assets when God calls us home. Because that's another issue that we don't talk about, is how do we secure all our assets once we build this legacy for our families so we can pass it on. So that's why I said I love to conversate and get this information out. And this is why I hope our state rep gets on, because the politics is where it's at as well. Because if we get our political leaders on board with us, it gives us an easier pathway to get this information to all our communities.
That is true. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And we'll have our invited Miss Melanie, Miss Bate. We'll have Miss Bazemore invited to one of the meetings for the seniors that we have every Monday.
Okay.
Ms. Bazemore, you just have to bring some treat for the seniors. I always bring pretzels and juice.
Yes, that'd be fine. I actually volunteered before at the York House with the veterans group a few years back, helping the veterans get their benefits. So I definitely love being a part of the community, because that's what it's about. Someone has to just say, hey, it's solutions out here. Because I used to look at a lot of our vets that's homeless and say, oh, they should get up, they should do better. But when I volunteered there and heard personal stories of what they were affected by being a servant, you know, the country for our safety, it will change your mindset of why we have to help them get the benefits that they deserve as well. And these are people that's turning seniors, and if they didn't get their benefits, it's even harder for them to get Social Security benefits if they have been under that PTSD so long that they're living out in these streets. And we have to just save people that want to be saved. We know that's true, but if we can show them individuals like ourselves that have solutions and hope for them, I think we can just really change somebody's life. And like you said, Pastor, even if it's just one person at a time, we're making a difference.
Again, you're listening to the WWDB, the Federation of Black and Minorities Businesses, Hour of Power. We have Ms. Bazemore, Ms. Melanie, and we have Makara and myself on. You know, we're talking about a number of things here, but one of the things that that's dear to my heart is, you know, volunteering, you know, doing things that you might not necessarily get a fiscal reward, but the reward is so much greater when you're able to help. And, you know, not to say that, you know, we don't have African-American males volunteering, because we do. We have a lot of them. And a lot of times they just go unnoticed, unseen. But I do believe that, you know, Black men, we need to be more prominent in the community for the young men's sake. They need to see more African-American males working together.
Yes.
And I'm so happy that we have Chris from the Senior Ambassadors, who's constantly out there in the streets. We have Randy, who's all the way out there every week, willing to go out there and service the community. You know, we just need more people. I have people right now in the clinic, younger black men, and we need to be featured, and not so much for the accolades, but so that the young men will see you have men out there working for them. And it needs to be front and center. You know, here's the issue that sometimes we have when we have what we call a prominent Black leader in the African-American community. What happens when you have someone so prominent? A lot of times, you know, all your hope, inspiration also sometimes will die. You'll lose momentum because it's all in that one person. You know, and a lot of times, you know, you can easily attack that leader with a number of things so that you'll have the people. And that's why I don't want to be a prominent leader, because it needs to be instilled in a group of people, because it's so easy to put that one person in the stifle the momentum by going after a particular leader. And I've seen some African-American males go after each other to because of again, greed, chasing after material things and things like that. So I think, you know, when you put together a organization, a group of people, men, and, you know, whereas though there is no one particular head, it is just a movement. So if one person is attacked, it doesn't make a difference. If one person goes down, it doesn't make a difference, because there is a movement. And you sort of see that with, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King, though, even though a lot, you know, was slowed down, but he had a curriculum. He put that curriculum together, and there's only two people in the country, in the world, that actually has this curriculum. And one of them, I'll say it on air, is Reverend Kwame Nkrumah. He actually has a Dr. Martin Luther King's curriculum of nonviolence. It was passed down to him. And there's one other person in this country that has that curriculum. And again, you see that a lot of momentum was slowed down, but that curriculum produced a lot of other leaders, a lot of leaders that stemmed, that came in right after the passing of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And we need to begin to build up a number of leaders. And you know, we got to get our religious entities to begin to work together and stop the politicking. And we need our politicians to work together. But again, we have a lot of politicking going on, whatever we do. But we need common folk to stand up, fight the good fight. This is not going to be a bed of roses. This is not going to be an easy walk. It was never meant to be an easy walk, but it's a good fight. It's a worthy fight of fighting, because our people need help. So I look forward to meeting up with you guys. I know that we have a few seconds left. I just want to thank our guests, Miss Melanie, Miss Bazemore, Nakara, I know that you've been quiet, but you are recovering. So we have no problem working in your seed. So thank you, folks. Thank you for being
a
part of this.
Thank you, everyone, for listening.
And you're so welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Have a great week, Philadelphia.
Time to wake up, folks. Take care.
Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children to jump the very best you can. But just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long. Judgment day, so won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time.